21CL Radio.
Join Dennis Grice and Chris Carter at the Concordia International School of Shanghai as they share their thoughts on the EdTech issues of the week.
And welcome to Year 3, Episode 14 of the Concordia EdTech Roundtable, where we value your feedback. If you would please take a few minutes to take our brief survey.
Whoa, stop. Don't turn us off.
Yeah, instead, just join us as we try to figure out why we collectively, the collective we, hate surveys on this episode of the Concordia EdTech Roundtable. Welcome back to the Concordia EdTech Roundtable. I'm Chris Carter, and today, again, I'm joined by the serendipitously inspired Dennis Grice.
Yeah, so much of my inspiration comes serendipitously.
I get it when I bump my head.
It's just sort of like random things that happen. It's like, whoa, there's an idea.
Well, but I think that's how it should be, as long as our minds are open to that, right? So
exactly.
Speaking of things we learned by serendipitously, what do you got for us?
A lesson that sounds familiar to all of us.
Okay.
The lesson is don't assume.
Do-re-mi? Oh. Don't assume.
We know what happens. But in this specific instance, don't assume that kids, and I'm putting on my elementary school hat there,
yeah,
that kids automatically, intuitively know how to search the internet for information.
Well, that's a definite point for me. Yeah,
and I've been working with some elementary students on research projects, and it's interesting that We may, you know, go to the library and have our resource specialist or our library media person give us a collection of books to use for research, but then they're just free to search the internet.
Right.
And it's like, oh, just go on the internet and find stuff too. It's like, well, let's sort of curate some web resources just like we curate books, and, you know, kind of help kids along. I mean, with the research projects, and also give them some tips on understanding keywords. Because if you don't give kids instructions on keywords, they're going to type, I want to know more about in the...
Exactly. No, I totally agree. And, you know, the fact is we reviewed a couple of these kid-friendly search engines that filter things you don't want them to see.
Exactly.
But also bring to the front things you do. And they're curated by librarians and by other teachers. So if you check our reviews, you'll see that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'm also a fan of teachers creating their own resource pages.
Sure.
And you can with Google Docs, you can create a doc with links and just share that out. I mean, it's or QR codes or various things
QR
to kind of you know, lead kids in the right direction, I think, you know, and kind of get them off to a good start. Those sort of like those internet training wheels.
Right. And you know, I've said before that this idea of digital native, meaning kids know how to use technology, is a chimera. They use technology to accomplish what they wish to accomplish, as anyone does, and they may be a bit more intuitive and faster to learn, perhaps, but they're still digital naives when it comes to using the internet for academic purposes, and we have to train on that.
And that's where our job comes in.
And that's where our job comes in.
What's your lesson this week?
Well, where you're saying, you know, don't assume kids know stuff, I'm saying don't write off negative emotions in the classroom. And here's why. I mean, as a teacher who has taught in pretty rough neighborhoods and now teaches at the ideal, school in the world, Concordia, it's like impossibly good. It's the Disneyland of schools. You know, I remember teaching a 13-year-old girl who was already a mother, kids strung out on drugs. I mean, like that whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. I've been there, and I would look for a reaction, an emotion, and I'd use it. And sometimes that emotion was just anger and hostility, having to be in school and what have you. And okay, but the fact that a kid is showing an emotion means that at some level they're engaged and they want something. If they just didn't care, I mean, apathy, you can't do much with
worse.
It, right? Yeah, I mean, to quote Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the only thing we have to fear is apathy itself, right?
That might be a misquote.
So I'm ever quotable.
Right.
I'm inventing quotes all the time.
There we go.
But the reality is, of course, positive emotion is the best. But between not caring or being angry, give me angry. Apathy.
And the glimpse that you get of a student at school is just a glimpse. You don't know everything. You never get the whole story of what's going on.
Just like in my own family, my daughter might come home and really just be in a less than ideal mood. And I know, both as a parent and as a teacher, this is coming. Something happened at school, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, later on in the evening, it's, oh, so-and-so said this, or, you know, and then it comes out, right? So right. Just because you're on the receiving end of something negative doesn't mean they're intending that you be the target necessarily.
No, and a lot of times you're sort of on the receiving end of you know, something that they're angry about with someone else or something else.
Exactly.
And it's just sort of like deflected anger.
You always hurt the ones you love. You know the ones that forgive you. So that's another, you know, reminder for the day. And when we get back, we're going to get into the survey of the matter, or which is the heart.
Why I hate surveys. And this is a personal thing for me. And we're going to kind of dig into my psyche a little bit when we come back.
I've never seen you so emotional. I'll be right back.
We're back, and I am still on my soapbox, or I'm climbing up onto it.
Correct.
And this is something that's basically, it's almost a rant. This is stuff that bugs me. When was the last time you went to a website and were not inundated with requests to fill out our survey,
right,
or complete our feedback, or, you know, you get those emails, you know, all the time. It's like, we want you to fill out the survey, and it's just... I'll just say it. It's annoying.
Okay, very enough.
It's annoying.
Yeah, you said it. This is me ranting.
It is annoying. And I think that it has become, and this is my opinion, it's become so easy to create surveys and collect information,
mm-hmm.
that I think people are sort of taking advantage of it and doing a lot with it. And I wonder what is happening with all this data.
Sure.
And I know, for example, Google Forms, and I have often referred to Google Forms as sort of like the gateway drug to Google
the
Apps.
The first one's always free.
If I show a teacher how to use a form to collect information, they go, oh, this is great. But you got to be careful with that, because I've had people go way overboard with that and create these 50-question surveys that all require, right. You know, multiple sentence responses, and I'm going, are you really going to look at all this? What are you going to do with all this data? And maybe one of the pet peeves I have is, you're collecting all this data, but are you really doing anything with it? Or is there a way to collect data in a less, I don't know, overt manner? Maybe
subtlety here.
A little bit of subtlety. And I kind of came across an article on Slate.com on how Facebook collects data.
Yeah, to me, this is more nefarious, potentially, but go ahead.
It is. But, you know, they use that there's a lot of stuff and a lot of information they get just from that like button.
Sure.
And this article, and I put it in the show notes, talks about, you know, how they take that data and they use that to tailor your newsfeed to what you like or what they perceive you to like.
And suddenly you're only hearing your own echoes.
Exactly. I
have a thing about that.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm saying it's definitely less annoying than Facebook coming up every time I log on saying, do you like this? Do you not like this? Why do you like this? Why do you not like this?
Right. Sure. Got it.
So... that's just something that bugs me. If there's a way to have maybe a reason for surveys, or a way to make surveys a little less annoying, and I have some suggestions, but I'm sure you have some opinions on this subject as well.
I've got an opinion on everything, whether I know it or not.
I know you love data.
I do. You know, ever since I saw Star Trek: The Next Generation, I've just been in love with data. But ba-dum-bum-ching. No, really.
There we go.
Surveys,
Star Trek reference.
People. There it is. My wife does a lot of market research. I mean, that's a big part of her job, both at Hewlett-Packard and now at Ford. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, she needs customer feedback and potential customer feedback and surveys. And they do you know, potential customer interviews and fascinating stuff, actually. But what I've definitely come to appreciate is just how important data are to making choices. We need to be data driven. So without data, you know, where do we go? I understand the necessity of surveys. Don't throw out the survey, but make it, I think, engaging instead, right? There are all kinds of points at which you should be using surveys of a sort, or data collection, let's say. If we expand survey to data collection, which I think is kind of what we're saying here, then, you know, using Zaption or Zaption Presenter to make sure kids are getting it. It's a survey, isn't it? I mean, a check for understanding is a form of survey. in the classroom, because you want to know how many kids got it and what their understanding is. And so along that line, you've got like Zaption Presenter, where you can just check for kids' understandings as you go. Padlet, let kids put up what they think the answer is, or to engage in that way. Google Forms, of course, which you referenced, but can be fun if the kids don't see it every day.
If it's done, I guess, well, if it's done right, I think there's definitely some reasons for it. But, you know, I think some things that you can do to make it less annoying.
Well, sure. Yeah,
would be, you know, make it short.
Well, that is true. Just ask specifically what you're going for. Don't ask these 20 question surveys. I mean, I get them as a teacher. Yeah. I get them from colleagues completing their PhD. You know, as part of my program, I need to conduct 1 or 1,000 surveys. Would you be willing to? Oh, well, okay, right? But, you know, so many things. If we look at surveys as data collection, you can turn tests into data collection as well. I mean, it is form of data collection.
Well, that's what a test is, really.
Right, but you can use it more than just as a summative exercise. Please check out the link, Turn Testing into Learning, that's on our show notes. You will appreciate it. Also, why not build surveys into reflection, right? When kids are reflecting on what they've learned, I think there's every reason that we should be doing this. There is the 3-2-1 survey, for instance.
Yeah, tell me about 3-2-1. So I saw that in the notes.
In 3-2-1, you post 3 questions for students to answer. And these questions are built around essentially this. Question number one, what are 3 things you learned? Question number 2, what are 2 questions you still have? Question number 3, what is 1 thing that you found interesting? Now, what's cool about this is kids like having a chance to give you their opinion, good or bad. But the point is this. We know from psychology that an experience is judged to be good or bad or fun or not fun based upon 2 things, the high point and how you finish. The high point and how you finish. So in the end, if you finish on a high point, you could have a cruddy lesson, you could have a tough time, but kids are going to leave your classroom thinking, hey, that was pretty good, right? This is how
So you're saying end well.
End well, right? End on a high point, and no matter how bad the lesson was, the kids aren't going to feel that bad about it. They're going to leave with a good. I'm not saying you should have bad lessons, obviously. What I am saying is make sure you end on a high note, right? And when you ask kids for their feedback and you end with the very question, one thing you found interesting, now they're consciously thinking about something interesting, and they're going to walk out of that class saying, yeah, that wasn't a waste of time. I learned some stuff. Okay. I still have some questions, but here's one interesting thing I had. And it's a very positive experience.
So that's a little strategic design going on there.
And why not? Why not use psychology to our advantage?
Because I know, obviously, speaking for myself, when those little links pop up to surveys, I cannot find the X fast enough.
But now you know.
Unless it's something I'm really upset about.
At which point you will rant.
At which point I will get on that survey and I will rant. But I'm thinking, are you getting a real picture of the people who are filling out the surveys are those people who fill out surveys? But are you getting a real accurate picture?
Well, and that's
of
an
all
issue.
That?
In fact, we've discussed that. There's a whole science to figuring out the likelihood of someone responding, and the most likely respondent is one who is disappointed. It's almost that silence is golden. I mean, if no one's complaining, it probably means people like it, but you can't be sure, and you want to know. But the person most likely to respond to a survey is someone who doesn't like it.
I did this once, and this is a story. I was stuck in traffic.
Okay.
And on the bumper of the vehicle in front of me said, "How's my driving?" And there's an 800 number.
I'm going to call this number.
I called the number, and here's the vehicle.
So while you're driving, which is illegal, by the way, but in most cases.
No, we weren't moving. But I called and I said, I'd like to comment on the driving. And they said, how is it? I think they're doing fantastic.
Nice.
I don't know, perhaps I made someone's day, but it's like the person on the other end didn't really know how to handle that.
Oh, wait, but wait a minute.
Wait,
I have
you're
my complaint
not,
form
you're not
ready.
Calling to complain about their driving? No, I just think they're doing a great job, and I want them to keep it
up. You should have seen the way he led with that blinker.
It was, fantastic. And, you know, it was just one of those things where you're bored, but, you know, it was just a fun thing to try.
But, you know, there's 2 things I like about that. One, you actually responded to the request for a survey. And 2, you were somebody's blessing. You know what? We can be. we can be a blessing. You know, pay it forward. Why not?
Why not? Exactly. You know? Exactly. So get out there and dial those 800 numbers and tell them they're driving.
And tell
they're
them
driving
you're,
wonderfully.
You're being fantastic. You know, honestly, it's going to lift your spirits and it'll lift theirs too. And since I know from psychology that you want to have a high point and you want to end on a good note, why don't we end on a high point since we're all feeling good about surveys now, even though you hate them?
Right. What are some ways we can make them better?
Yeah. Oh yes. Okay, yeah. Yeah. This will be the high point. Now we're going to.
This will be the high point. And I do have a link here that has some helps, some ideas, some things to make your surveys better. One, keep it short. Don't give me something that's going to take 20 or 30 minutes to complete.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're dealing with Google Forms.
Respect my time.
Because it's difficult to save and come back. So
if you don't know what you're going to do with the response, don't ask the question.
Yeah. Oh, precisely. You know, and don't keep asking the same question over and over
in three different ways, right?
Yeah. Because I have this feeling that sometimes people just collect information on forms and just
feel good about it.
Put them in a file and never use it again, which if you were to check my personnel file at my previous place of employment, under known allergies, it says faculty meetings. So, just because I knew that no one was going to look at it.
You know, the medicine for that is happy hour, but
exactly,
go ahead.
Exactly, yeah. But, begin with the end in mind.
Yes.
Think about what you're going to do with the questions.
Backwards planning in the military.
Exactly. You know, write to your audience.
Yes.
Make sure that you're asking something that's within the scope of their understanding. Don't ask leading questions.
Right. Oh, this is, you get it, and the political polls are always the same. Do you agree that what's happening in this country really is stinky?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Or the other one that says don't ask double barrel questions, which basically it's one question that really needs two answers.
Nice.
You know, split them up into two answers. Let's see. I know I'm kind of looking
at the list.
There's a lot here.
Well, go link. Yeah, they'll say it.
Don't always force an answer. You think, these questions are really important. I'm going to require that everyone answer every single question. You got that little checkbox you can make.
Right, can you just say?
Sometimes, if I'm forced to answer a question and I don't know, I'm just going to
go negative.
I'm going to close the form.
Yeah,
it's like
I
won't. I won't complete it. And and don't have too many responses. You know, five or six questions,
right.
Good. Well, keep it quick. Keep it simple.
Beyond five, you're asking for it.
Yeah,
it's too subtle. Just yes, no, maybe yes, maybe no. You know.
And finally, one final tip, and I think this is not a bad idea. Ask the demographics last. Basically,
okay.
Now
that I've invested my time in this survey.
So once I've filled out the survey, then I may be more comfortable in saying who I am and filling in some of my personal information.
Sure. Right.
But if it's at the beginning, I'm filling in my personal information, knowing or not knowing what is it they're going to be asking.
Excellent. No, I agree.
So put that near the end.
Makes a lot of sense.
Which is an interesting way to look at it.
So if you like this show, hit A. If you don't like this show, hit B. Dennis, don't leave the B button in there. Okay, I think we're good. I think that's how you end up.
I have done one question. Survey.
Did you like the survey?
Did you like the survey? Yes. And there's no other option.
Enter. I get great results from my surveys. Well, on that positive note, I think we should give thanks to Miles May again.
Oh, definitely.
Who, the producer of the show. You know, you can find this podcast on 21st Century Learning Radio, which is 21clradio.com, and also at the iTunes store. Where should they look, Dennis?
I think you could look at Concordia space ed space tech. Put that in the search field and you should be able to get it. And you can also find us at podcast.concordiashanghai.org.
Now, the tease for next week, I'm going to tell you, we're going to be talking about the top 10.
This is going to be amazing.
Ed tech quotes of all times. This will be shatteringly interesting.
Oh, it should be.
And this is
in our opinion, which is really all that
our humble opinion.
Yes.
Awesome. So on that humble note, see you next week.